Blog Talk Radio.
Delving past the headlines, sorting through the media bias, exposing the propaganda, and challenging you to use your brain. It's time to tap into the truth.
Yes, that's right, ladies and gentlemen. It is indeed time to tap into the truth. With you, as always, this is your host, Tim Tapp, coming to you live from historic Roane County, Tennessee. Today, we are talking about another obvious case of media bias in the first hour. We're going to discuss a particular case that has been going on, has recently come to light through alternative media sources as opposed to the real, supposedly real, that's quotation marks, mainstream media. And even amongst the mainstream media outlets like the Associated Press, they've been very careful how they've reported this story, because they don't want you to know all of the facts. And again, why? Because it does not fit the narrative of what they want to tell. They have, and we've covered this for a while now, an agenda. They have a purpose. They have a reason for deciding for you what it is that you're supposed to know, what it is you're supposed to think. They no longer report the news. They no longer report the facts. They try so very hard to create for you your opinion. They want to tell you how it is that you're supposed to think about this. They don't want you to just know facts and decide for yourself. As we get into this topic, we will also play a few sound bites. And one of the sound bites I have for you today, actually both of the sound bites involving this story, come from other talk show hosts. And I'm usually kind of reluctant to do that. Both of these are both from television broadcasts as well. I don't like taking other commentators' sound bites and putting them here on the show, just because, you know, that's their show, this is my show. But on this particular issue, there's been so very little out there. Nobody's talking about it. There's not a lot of sound bites to be found. And if you can find one, then you're ahead of the game, because most folks just aren't talking about this. As we continue on to the second hour of the show, we're going to open up the phone lines and we're going to talk about a lot of different things, whatever you want to talk about. So you're going to have to call into the show then and be part of it. We'll talk about everything from Anthony Weiner's ongoing freak show, I guess we'll call it, for lack of a better word. I mean, I've mentioned before, there's only a couple of places where Anthony Weiner could ever expect to have a return into politics. One of them, of course, being San Francisco, where everything's okay. And then the other one, New York City. Lots of people that vote for no other reason than the fact that they heard of the guy's name before. Some folks say, hey, I've heard of the Weiner. I'm voting for Weiner. I'm all for Weiner, having no idea what the guy is all about. It's tragic. It really is. In the meanwhile, we're also going to be talking about anything else you want to talk about in the second hour, from the Detroit bankruptcy to ongoing cases where the media is still more than happy to talk about the fallout from the Zimmerman verdict. There have been acts of violence perpetrated by gangs now, mobs of people angry going about, some of them even taking place in Florida now. That's what Al Sharpton was after. That's what the Justice Department, or the Injustice Department, however you prefer to refer to them as, has been after from the beginning, from the onset. This is what they want. They want violence, they want anger, and they want you all wrapped up in why we should be doing the things that we do. Why should we be concerned about Trayvon Martin's death? Because We're a nation of haters, and racism is still running rampant, and everybody out there just has so much hate in their hearts. Well, if they can do anything to continue to divide Americans based on any type of division they can come up with, they're all for it. I've said it time and time again. I don't care which side of the Zimmerman-Martin debate you fall down on, whether Zimmerman got away with something or if justice was served. The bottom line still holds true that the people that are trying to make you angry about it have an agenda, and it has nothing to do with justice. It has to do with them protecting themselves from scandal. It has to do with you being distracted from what you need to know is going on. And it has to do with continuing, in the case of people like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, an opportunity for them to appear like they're significant, like they're important to somebody somewhere, like they might actually be a leader of some kind. And heaven help you if you follow either of these men for any purpose other than the fact that occasionally they're good for a laugh. Because it is downright laughable, the things that they say and do. These people are not leaders of any community. At any rate, it appears that we have a caller on the line, and we'll go ahead and we'll take the caller. We'll see what has to be said here and there, and then we will move on to the main topic. Or maybe not, as I seem to have lost my caller. They must not have been interested in talking. Okay. Fair enough. All right. So as I mentioned before, typically I don't like to do sound bites from other talk show hosts. I like to get actual politicians talking. I like to get people in the community. I like to get actual honest reactions, things that are going on. But like I said, not a whole lot going on in the media. Not a whole lot of sound bites to be heard on this story. So I'm going to go ahead, I'm going to play the Glenn Beck soundbite right now. I know a lot of you like Glenn, a lot of you don't like Glenn. Regardless, I'm going to let Glenn set the stage for this storyline. And here we go.
I want to talk to you a little bit about the truth tonight, and if it matters. And I want to start with a story that is getting very little play in the mainstream media. In fact, this is the way it's reported by the Associated Press, and I just want to give it to you. An incredible story. Authorities are investigating the rape of a 13-year-old girl in Central Texas who was assaulted by several men, some of whom used cell phone cameras to record the attack. Court records filed in Austin indicate the girl ran away from home June 29th and was approached by a car with three men inside. The girl was suddenly driven to an apartment about a mile away. Records say up to 10 men were at the apartment. Some taking turns having sex with the girl. She told police that some cheered. Two men have been charged with aggravated sexual assault of a child. 24-year-old Juan Lozano Ortega and 26-year-old Edgar Guzman Perez in custody Thursday, each on $30,000 bond after being arrested a day earlier. That's the end of the story. That's all they thought. That's the best they could do. No other details that they felt were important enough to share. Because they've got other things to do, I guess. But there's a little bit more to this story. If you take the Associated Press story and throw it out, there's more. More that you probably should know. First of all, she was a runaway. She ran away from her parents? No. She was living in a place called the Settlement Home for Children. The Settlement Home is a place for, it's a placing agency for foster children. So this isn't some spoiled brat teenager mad because I didn't get an iPhone, Mom, for my birthday. This is a child who has been rejected her entire life. At 13, she probably understands she's most likely going to age out of the foster care system, in and out of homes, in and out of them. So she runs away from the settlement home. She hitches a ride with three men she didn't know. First mistake. They take her to this nearby apartment complex. The young girl is escorted into an apartment, only to find 10 other males inside waiting for her. The next few hours have to be described as hell on earth. 13 grown men up against one frightened 13-year-old girl. Taking turns, one after another, after another, after another. Demented animals. And they reveled. It's a party for them. Taking out their cell phones and recording all of it. One cheering another one on. As they viciously rape a helpless 13-year-old girl. A girl with no family. No one really looking for her. No one coming to help. Alone in the world. Surrounded by men. Well, this gruesome attack goes on for hours and hours, all the way through the night and into the morning. I just spent time with Elizabeth Smart. She told me when I was out in Utah she didn't think she would live to see that morning. I'll bet you this 13-year-old girl didn't think she'd see another sunrise. Well, finally they had enough, and they called off the attack. And one of these animals was kind enough to let her use his cell phone so she could call her foster brother. But her foster brother, not being a brother or a man, refused help. So, surprisingly, they had the compassion to drive her to a nearby neighborhood. They kicked her out of the car. They told her, you gotta go find someplace else. Go find someplace else to go. She did find someplace else to go. She actually met a woman who brought her to another apartment complex where this man was waiting for her. Unbelievably, this 13-year-old girl was sexually assaulted yet again in the same 24 hours, asking someone for help. Of the 13 attackers, in the first attack, these two have been arrested. What the AP and the rest of the media haven't bothered to point out is that these two and the other 13 appear to be, all of them, illegal immigrants. The others are still at large. Where's the outrage? Where's Al Sharpton? Was Barack Obama. Shouldn't the president give a speech and say something like, this girl could have been my daughter? After all, my daughter is just turning 14. Well, he could give that speech, couldn't he? How about speeches on the dangers of letting illegals live in the shadows? How about the speeches of let's just be good to each other? Where are the marches? No justice, no peace. It's not going to happen. Because, see, nobody really actually cares about people anymore. It's really only about politics. It's not about Trayvon Martin. They had to make him look like a little 13-year-old boy when he wasn't. Why? Because it would help them get elected or re-elected or get them to cause trouble or get them to give more power. But you see, this little 13-year-old girl, she doesn't... You don't have to doctor a picture of her to make her look 13. She is 13. Does anything even matter anymore? Does the truth matter? Is there such a thing as right and wrong? I don't even recognize us anymore.
Okay, and that was the monologue that Glenn Beck had on his television show. And this is among one of the few instances where this story is being recorded with any level of even an attempt at humanizing this girl or any level of attempt to make sure that we as the American public understand the fact that this original crime, the 13 men in total that gang raped this poor girl, happened to have been here illegally. We're in the midst of what they want to call comprehensive immigration reform. Of course they can't let this story get out to the mainstream media. Of course they can't let this story get out in the consumption of average, everyday Americans, because most people can relate to what has happened to this girl. Most people who are of voting age either are still not so far removed from being the age of 13 and knowing what it's like not to feel like they belong somewhere and knowing how it feels to be a victim of something, or they're on the other end and they're parents and they can put themselves in the position of how they would feel if that was their child that had been done this way. And let me tell you something, the fact that these people are illegal immigrants is damaging to these politicians' attempts at passing amnesty. It may be true that the overwhelming majority of people that are in this country illegally are generally honest, hardworking folks. But there is still a high number, not necessarily a high percentage, but still a high number of these people. In this particular case, several of these folks had already been deported once, and we know what it takes to get deported under the current administration's idea. These men are dangerous to the attempt at immigration reform. And in truth, this amnesty package that they keep trying to put up there is dangerous to America anyway, because we've tried it before. But we're not talking about the amnesty today. I mean, we could set that aside, and here in a little bit, I'll open up the phone lines and you folks can call in based on this topic. And if you want to talk about that as part of this story, obviously it is part of it, because this is why the media doesn't want to talk about it. The call-in lines here, of course, if you're listening from the show page at Blog Talk, you can see the toll-free number. That number is, of course, 888-287-5313. But if for some reason you don't have to worry about calling in toll free, or you're just not concerned about paying for it for whatever reason, but you've got one of those really great cell phone packages, if you have a Skype subscription, whatever the case may be, we ask you to go ahead and give us a call at the main call in number, which is 347-426-3550. And I implore you to call and engage with me on this topic. Express if you just have outrage over the fact that it happened at all. Go ahead and call in and say so. Just remember to try and keep it clean. I try to keep it a clean show here. Blog Talk doesn't necessarily require us to do so, but I think if you're going to have a actual dialogue, it's kind of important to discuss in reasonable tones. You raise your voice a little bit. Let's avoid those leftist tricks of shouting down our opponents and name-calling. But it's a modern tragedy that this can occur within the United States in the first place. But what makes it worse is the fact that this is a blatant case of the media trying not to give you the news, but to form your opinion for you. They keep stories like this away from you. It was probably killing the AP to have to report this at all. And I guarantee you the only reason they're talking about it is because they knew that alternative news sources would be talking about it. And yet they still don't want to give proper respect to what has occurred here. I've got another soundbite. I'm going to go ahead and play it. Like I said before, I hate doing soundbites from other talk show hosts. I just hate doing it. That's their thing. This is my thing. And I like for you to have these opportunities. But the bottom line is here, again, like I've explained before, it's hard to find soundbites about this case. Again, because the media is trying to go to sleep about it. This next soundbite is, of course, Laura Ingraham. She was substituting for Sean Hannity on his show. And she has a couple of guests talking. I'm going to play the clip in its entirety. And I want you to hear the hypocrisy in the folks from the left in this clip, because what you have is an immigration attorney as one of the guests. Would you hear the kind of things that he says in this clip? And then we will continue with the show. Here is this clip. It's about 5 minutes, so here we go.
He's on this with me in Washington, Steve Camerata, the Director of Research for the Center for Immigration Studies, and Daniel Hernandez, an immigration lawyer who joins us from Fort Worth, Texas. Okay, let's start with you, Mr. Hernandez. I'm great. Look, this case of this 13-year-old little girl in Texas who was gang raped by illegal immigrants, a number of them. Some, I believe, had already been ordered deported, came back to the United States. Most news organizations, we did research. Only a few ended up publishing the immigration status of these men who carried out this horrific act. It could ruin a life forever, not just for a few months, but forever. Only a few news organizations actually told us that these people were illegal aliens. Do you believe news organizations have a duty to report this information?
Absolutely not. In fact, I think that is the problem. I don't think they should be reporting it. I mean, that's just setting it up to create a bias or a prejudice with juries. A crime is a crime. I'm not going to dispute that this is a horrific crime, but it doesn't matter the race, creed, religion. It's a crime. If you started off any report talking about what their race is, their color, their religion, all you're setting it up for in the news media is to be incapable of getting a fair jury. That's what you're setting up.
Okay, I want to interrupt right there for just a second, because isn't this the very argument for hate crime legislation? This is one of those little areas where they get really circular in their logic when we talk about the folks on the left. If we're talking about especially the so-called progressives, the whole idea behind hate crimes is that it's especially heinous because there's a racial component. This is supposed to matter as long as it's a white person committing the crime against any other group of people. But this particular lawyer, because it suits his argument and suits his purpose, wants to say that that kind of thing is part of the problem. It's hypocrisy, plain and simple. Now, this guy has a vested interest in immigration because he's an immigration attorney. He himself is obviously from a minority family. So I don't blame somebody for siding with what they deem to be their own people. But here's the problem with him siding that way. He's supposed to be an officer of the court as an attorney, regardless of where he's practicing law and what kind of law he practices. He's telling us now, because it interferes with his client's ability to be defended, that it doesn't matter. But as soon as, let's flip the script, let's say a white person did something to one of these illegals, what's going to happen then? I guarantee you he's going to be on the other side of this coin in a heartbeat. But this is the very essence of their argument about hate crimes. Most conservatives have argued all along they're not necessary. Why? Because a crime is a crime. What this man has just said. Anyway, I'm sorry for the interruption. Let's continue.
He's on this with me in Washington, Steve Camerata, the Director of Research for the Center for Immigration Studies, and Daniel Hernandez, an immigration lawyer who joins us from Fort Worth, Texas. Okay, let's girl in Texas who was gang raped by illegal immigrants, a number of them. Some, I believe, had already been ordered deported, came back to the United States. Most news organizations, we did research, only a few ended up publishing the immigration status of these men who carried out this horrific act. It could ruin a life forever, not just for a few months, but forever. Only a few news organizations actually told us that these people were illegal aliens. Do you believe news organizations have a duty to report this information?
Absolutely not. In fact, I think that is the problem. I don't think they should be reporting it. I mean, that's just setting it up to create a bias or a prejudice with juries. A crime is a crime. I'm not going to dispute that this is a horrific crime, but it doesn't matter the race, creed, religion. It's a crime. If you started off any report talking about what their race is, their color, their religion, all you're setting it up for in the news media is to be incapable of getting a fair jury. That's what you're setting up. That shouldn't have anything to do with it.
So we can't use any statistics about then color of skin. So we're looking for an assailant. We can't say color of skin. When we're looking for people or identifying people, we can't give this information, but we can refer to them as, quote, Mexican or, quote, Salvadoran or, quote, Asian. I mean, this is insanity. They give all sorts of information from the Dominican
Republic. I'm not saying I agree with that. I don't think they should
be doing
that either.
So they shouldn't do that either. Okay, so you don't want the American people. So let me just get this straight. Cameron, I got to get in here. But you're saying the American public does not have a right to know that the people who are not supposed to be here in this country, some of them are committing horrible acts against the American people. Are you kidding me?
Are you telling me then that we should know exactly who the burglar is that broke into your house that's a U.S. citizen too? I mean, what's the difference?
Yes. Yeah, I want to know everything we can about
them. They're not supposed to be.
Yes, and they're not supposed to be in the United States.
But we have this thing called innocent until proven.
Of course people are innocent.
Of course they are. Of course they're innocent until proven guilty. They're already criminals. They're here illegally. Go ahead.
There are too many places where that's portrayed as bad.
Let me say this. Look, it's very relevant if the person's not even supposed to be in the country in the first place. Take this guy, Edwin Ramos, in San Francisco, who killed a father and his two sons. Now, it took a while, but eventually when it came out that he had been protected by the city, that he was someone who was protected by their amnesty policy, and he was currently in the United States illegally, the city revisited that policy and at least cut back on it. But until the police actually reported, or shall I say the media actually reported this guy's immigration status, this triple murder, people didn't realize the city was protecting murderers like this and not going against someone just because they were illegal and not informed.
Nobody's protecting
and so once
a murderer.
That's exactly what happened. This guy committed
That is not always happening.
He committed two violent crimes, and they didn't inform ICE. He then subsequently went out and exterminated a whole family.
Well,
and so that's why it's so important.
Alexander City, Alabama, murder-suicide, an illegal immigrant and his girlfriend just happened last month. In July, 17-year-old illegal from Guatemala, charged with murder at a Beaumont Mall. This was obviously also, I believe this was also in Texas. Mosia Morales Ramos. No one's saying that all illegal immigrants who are here, by the way, they're criminally here. They're not supposed to be here. But they're no one's saying that they're all committing serious crimes.
We're mixing two issues that have nothing to do with one another.
No. Mr. Hernandez, we are in the process of debating immigration reform based on a series of glowing reports about how illegal immigration is good for the United States.
And
let me tell you who it's not good for. It's not good for the 13-year-old girl who was gang raped in Texas right in
the
backyard.
I don't know of a single immigration proposal that's saying let's keep people here that are breaking
the law. Oh, really?
That's
why two or three DUIs, you're probably going to still be able to be in this country. Right. And a lot of these guys didn't have records before they committed violent crimes. That's the
Neither
problem.
Does the person
this
who breaks into our home
American people
white, black, or
know,
Asian.
And there is a massive cover-up going on.
It's important defense like this. It matters if someone is illegally in the country.
Every single
There's a great
day.
Case out in Massachusetts.
When I read a police report,
this
that's
guy
not what I look
DUIs,
for.
And then he killed somebody.
I'm sure
under the immigration bill, he'd get amnesty.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not what you're looking for, Mr. Hernandez, but American citizens and legal immigrants, many of whom are Latino, do have a right to know. And that is I think, is going to be very important in this debate in the immigration reform.
All right, and that's the end of the clip, and of course it gets a little broken down there at the end, but part of what I do like about the clip is they bring out some more information, and right now Melinda in the chat room is also talking about some other specific cases. At the moment, though, we have a caller on the line, so we're going to go ahead and take that call. Area code 585, you're on the air.
Just listening in.
All right, well, all right then. All right, well, what we have to be concerned about as this story continues is why is the media not making the point of reporting to you the truth? The media bias and the hypocrisy has no end. You heard in this particular clip. Now, this guy, he's not only just a lefty attorney, but he is, in fact, somebody who has his entire livelihood dependent upon making sure that people who are trying to get into the country can, and I think most people are all right with legal immigration. The problem with illegal immigration is we don't know who these people are. Who are they hiding in the shadows? And again, I've already made the point. It's may very well be the case that the overwhelming majority of people that are in this country illegally are hardworking, trying to make a better life for themselves. And while there's a certain amount of understanding of why they might want to do that, what has to be kept in mind, too, is they're still breaking the law. There's a right and wrong way about doing it. But with all of that put to the side, why does the media not want you, me, or anybody else talking about the fact that these people were here illegally? We're still in the midst of this amnesty bill. We're still in the midst of the political turmoil, the give and take, everything that's going on in regards to this. So they don't want you knowing that this crime was committed by people who aren't supposed to be here. And as Laura pointed out in her bit, there are some members of this group of 13 who had already been deported before and had made their way back. So we know how well our border security is doing. You hear people on both sides of the aisle talk about national security, and yet they still don't want to fully fund finishing the fence or put enough border agents on that fence so that we can adequately protect our borders from people that we don't want in this country. At the same time, all of this is transpiring behind the scenes, and what you have is a media that wants to propagate a level of blind ignorance on this particular topic. And it is infuriating to me that this poor 13-year-old girl, for those of you who may just be joining in, I also played the Glenn Beck clip where he lays out the entirety of the story. This 13-year-old girl had run away from a foster placement house. She was bouncing between foster care homes. She was in the foster care system. She knew she was about to age out, and she ran away. Why? These situations that she's been in to this point is horrible. I mean, it's not a great scenario, and even if these people were doing the absolute best job they could, well, she was still in their care. She was still waiting to see who the next person was going to be that would take her in. If it doesn't sell the narrative that everybody who's here illegally right now is okay because most of them believe that most of those folks are going to vote with the so-called progressives, they think they're going to vote Democratic, and they think they're going to be able to gain control over the House and the Senate and the White House and be able to dictate policy, the Constitution be damned. They're pushing a narrative. They're not reporting the truth. And in the meanwhile, this poor girl, not only does she get gang raped by these 13, apparently all of them are illegals. At the last time I checked, two of them were in custody. They have the audacity to record video on their cell phones of these actions that they took and that they perpetrated on this girl. And then when they finally dump her out somewhere, she goes to get help. She approaches a lady. This lady takes her back to her apartment where someone else assaults her again. Now, if you did hear the Glenn Beck clip, but you haven't seen the video footage, this was a big, scary-looking African-American guy. Again, that part of the story can't get out into the mainstream media either. Why? Because that scares people. It doesn't fit the narrative. And I don't want to push any wrong buttons anywhere, but it's completely asinine to believe for 1 minute that the only violent crime that takes place in America is white on black. And when we see these kind of things happen, the media just wants to go to sleep on it. They don't want to report it because they don't want to offend someone. But if it's offensive that we talk about criminals, we've got a problem. Now, some people make these large assumptions that, well, this means that all of this group must be, they must all be criminals. Well, that's crap. We heard in the clip the lawyer doing the circular logic about how, well, every argument the left has for hate crime legislation, it just doesn't apply here. And that's fine. But the conservative argument against hate crime legislation all along has been, if it's a crime, it's a crime. That's exactly what this lawyer said. If it's a crime, it's a crime. I'm not saying this isn't a heinous crime, but if it's a crime, it's a crime. Right. Glad you finally agree with us. Everybody tiptoes over these racial issues now, especially because of the outcome of the George Zimmerman verdict. And we've got to get past the tiptoeing if we're going to have real conversations and real dialogue. I have to tell you for a fact, I have lived, I'm in East Tennessee. I live close to Knoxville, Tennessee. I have worked in East Knoxville, which that's as hood as it gets in this part of the state, outside of parts of Chattanooga. And I got to tell you, when you get to know people, regardless of skin tone, most people are, you know, they're regular folks. If you have some street thug, he still wants the same thing as some church-going Bible thumper wants too. They want enough money to have enough things that they can feel comfortable with and to have some extra stuff that they just want to have. Now, some folks take a questionable route to get there, and I'm certainly not justifying any of that kind of behavior, but what I'm saying is that for the most part, people are people. Skin tone doesn't make that much of a difference for the folks who take the time to get to know people of other backgrounds. Most of the division that's easily occurred between all these folks happens directly as a result of people not taking the time to get to know folks outside of their own little group, whether it be religious or ethnic or whatever the division is. But if we take the time to get to know each other, we find out a lot of things. We have a large number of folks in government right now who are determined to keep us separated because it's easier to push their agenda. And that agenda is control. It's not about helping folks. It's about controlling you. I don't like to talk about it a whole lot because I don't like talking about personal experience, but I had to live in public housing at one point in time. I had to. I didn't have a choice. And what I can tell you from my personal experience there is every time I did a single thing to try and improve my situation, to try and improve the situation of my family, that they found ways to hold me back. You make a little more money, your rent goes up, usually in a disproportional fashion. You get your income tax returns, if you're lucky enough to be getting a refund, and we were then. Well, they want to take all of that. even if that means they charge you rent that's over the legal maximum allowed. They'll do it. And if you scoff at them, if you balk them just giving them the money, then they find a reason to throw you out. I've seen it time and time again. It's not right. It's not fair. And that's just one example of how the system is set up to control people, not to help them. The media is playing the role in this case. This 13-year-old girl was a victim of sexual assault and a gang activity, gang raped. I don't know that it was gang activity, so let me take that back. But it was gang rape. Multiple people, 13 men. As far as I can tell, all 13 participated based on the information that I've seen so far. And then in less than 24 hours after this ordeal had stopped, she was sexually assaulted again. As a result of asking someone for help. Now, it is horrible that this would happen in the United States of America anyway. It's horrible that this would happen anywhere in the world. But then to sit back and see our media. Try to ignore this story. Try to keep it as quiet and suppressed as possible. We just don't want to talk about it. And the only reason they'll talk about it, even the least little bit, is because they know folks like Glenn Beck, like Laura Ingraham, like Sean Hannity, like Neil Bortz, if Neil was still on the air. Herman Cain has his time slot now. Even folks here on Blog Talk, like myself and a host of other conservatives, they know we'll be talking about it because we hear about it and we get outraged by it. Some of us are outraged at the fact that it happened at all, as we all should be. Some of us are outraged at the fact that it was illegal immigrants that did this, as a lot of us should be, because, again, most of these folks were people we already knew were criminal, had already been deported at least once. And then the coup de grace. The thing that outrages me the most about this is the fact that our mainstream media is so tied to trying and push their agenda that they're unwilling to report all of the facts. They're unwilling to paint for you, the American public, the entirety of the story. They're reluctant to report it at all. It makes me want to cry, honestly. I mean, I am not an overly emotional, weepy kind of guy. I tend to be more of the, blah, whatever. A typical guy, I guess. But this is horrible. But how can we stand back as Americans and not respond to the media's lack of telling us what happened? They don't want you to know. These guys were illegal immigrants. They don't want you to know that there even was a second sexual assault. Because it doesn't fit the agenda. Again, they don't want to report truth. They want to create your opinion. And the opinion they want you to have right now is that amnesty for illegals is good. And it's so important for them to tell you that narrative, to convince you that that's the truth, that they don't even want to tell you what happened to this girl because you might be angry, you might demand justice, and you might, fairly or unfairly, blame all illegals. I'll be the first person to tell you, it's not fair to put this on all illegals. It's not. But it's certainly not fair to the American public to be painted a picture of this was just some runaway girl who probably got what she deserved. And I have heard some people hint to that, and that's far more appalling than anything else that I can imagine. You wouldn't hear people dare to make statements like that if the media, the whole of the media, was telling the whole truth about this story. Now, I don't want you to run out first thing Monday morning and start making phone calls and sending letters to your congressmen and senators and blah, 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 saying that this is horrific. Something must be done. We have to round up large numbers of people that had nothing to do with this. The truth of the matter is amnesty is bad for America. Most conservatives understand that. Most conservatives know that already. I'd say a fair number of folks that typically tend to vote liberal also know that. But you have groups that are afraid of being called racist if they stand up and voice an opinion that's in opposition to just giving free rein to these folks that are crossing our borders with no regards to our laws. And again, I'm not a hater by any means. I'm not. What makes me angry is when I see people getting away with crimes. I hate it when there are people that should be facing justice and they don't. And I hate it even more to the case that there are crimes that take place in this country, regardless of if it's just somebody getting robbed to the point of somebody being raped or killed, and this is being done by people who have already been picked up and sent out of the country once. That's something that goes beyond the realm of being preventable. That's what we need to be picking up the phones and sending the letters and sending the emails to our elected officials about. We need to step up to the point to keep the pressure on. We need to make sure that the Obama administration and all his little cronies understand that we're not going to forget about Benghazi, no matter how many more distractions he pulls out. We're not going to step back and buy into the media lies anymore as they package all this crap up in a nice little bow to try and decide for us what we should think. We need to make it clear to the media. I think we've already seen a lot of newspapers in danger of disappearing, and tons of them that already have, that is a result of exactly that. A lot of Americans deciding that, you know what, we're not going to continue to send you money to send us lies. We're not falling for the propaganda anymore. I feel bad for this little girl. And I wish there was something that I could do. But the truth of the matter is the scars that she received from this incident will never go away. And she is going to respond to this in one of two ways. That's typically what happens in cases like this. She is either going to seek ways to escape this personal pain any way she can, which unfortunately in our modern culture seems to be the way of pharmaceuticals. Or she'll draw strength, she'll find faith somewhere, and she will start working to try and make sure this doesn't happen to anyone else. Now, I'm praying for the second one. I'm praying every day since I've heard this story for the second one. But it is so hard for this to happen and for you to stay positive. It's unimaginable that this could happen. And anybody would hint that, well, maybe she deserved it. Why would you get into a car with strangers anyway? She made a mistake. She's 13 years old. I have no idea what the details of her life were before that, but being in foster care placement means she wasn't even in foster care. To have placed a phone call to somebody that was with you, one of your foster brothers, and they not even make an effort to want to come help. How sad is that? Now, maybe she didn't say what was going on. Maybe she was just asking, can you please come pick me up? I mean, I can't imagine it would be easy to say, hey, this is what's happening, especially if you're still with them. Because, I mean, let's face facts, she placed that call, according to the report, on the cell phone of one of the attackers. So are you even going to say that, even if you would have? So they might change their mind about letting you go. But why are we putting up with the media refusing to tell you the truth? Because they want to pass legislation in Washington, D.C. They don't want you to know about the story because they think immigration reform is more important than telling you the story of what happened to this girl and the criminals that perpetrated it. This is an outrage. And anybody who has heard this story and who isn't outraged about it, I have to wonder if you even have a heart. Something has to be done about a media that refuses to tell us the truth. I mentioned the other day about a court case where two Fox reporters lost their job because they were reporting on Monsanto's. Well, folks that they worked for didn't want the story on the Monsanto's milk to get out. You're right, Mary. Mary in the chat room just said that if this little girl had shot any of them, that it'd be in the news. She's absolutely right. And I guarantee you still wouldn't get to hear about the fact that she had been gang raped by these people. This would have been just another case of, ooh, gun violence gets so out of control, even 13-year-olds are shooting people. That would have been the headline splashed everywhere. Nobody would miss this story. They just wouldn't get the full story. But the reporters I was talking about who lost their job, trying to report on chemical compounds in the Monsanto's milk. The judge says point blank, there is no law that compels the news to tell the truth. Did you catch that? There is no law that compels the news to tell the truth. We have moved so far to the left in our courts and in our government that even people that are supposed to be on the right are pretty much liberal these days. But to go to the point that people would expect truth in their news, they scoff at. They don't have to. News agencies are notorious for being propaganda agents. Propaganda doesn't have to be true. So, you know what? It's okay for them to fire you for telling the truth. How long are we going to put up with this? It's time they stopped telling a narrative and started reporting the truth again. And it is definitely time that the media, that is supposed to be the watchdog for the public, that are supposed to be keeping the politicians and the big business people in check, keeping us informed about what they're up to so that we, in turn, can keep them in check as the masses, that they return back to the job for which they're supposed to have honored for. It's not their job to form our opinions for us, but that's what they've been doing at least since Vietnam. At least at that point, it became very obvious when the editorial started seeping its way into the very headlines of what was reported as actual news. And again, I have nothing wrong with editorials. I don't have a problem with people giving them. If you want to write an op-ed, if you want to be on a show like this one, where it is clear that I'm going to be stating a great deal of my opinion, then by all means, have at it. But put that up as the main objective. Make sure you're not trying to convince someone that this is all fact. Now, I try to back up everything that I say with facts that are readily available, most of which you can find. For those of you who listen to the intro, I challenge you to do your own research and use your own brain to think past what you're being told and try and see what the actual agenda is. This is the case where that needs to be done. Why are you not hearing the truth? You're not hearing the truth here because it doesn't fit the agenda. And I'm sorry to keep saying it. I am. But, I mean, it's obvious. It is so terribly obvious. But they're getting away with it. They would still rather talk about things going on as a result of the Zimmerman verdict than to mention one iota of this story. And the few people that will go on the record in regards to trying to say anything the least little bit defensive towards the administration or towards the media or why the media is not telling you this stuff, they go around in circles explaining to you how, well, that would cause problems with these people getting a fair trial. Really? Does anybody think for a second that there wasn't problems with getting George Zimmerman a fair trial? Again, I don't care which side of the Zimmerman-Trayvon crap you come down on. If you think Zimmerman got away with something or if you think that justice was served, either way, if you're going to be honest, you have to admit that the way this was handled made it difficult to find a jury pool that wasn't tainted. The 24-hour news media cycle doesn't give a rat's ass anymore about whether it will taint a jury pool. It just won't. They don't care. And that's the whole point. They don't care about people anymore. Right or wrong doesn't enter into the subject matter because right or wrong is subjective to them. There's no black and white, just a lot of different shades of gray. And in our modern world, they'd like to think that. They really would. But there are some instances where there still is simple black and white, right or wrong, cut and dry, no in-between grounds. And when a 13-year-old is gang raped, that's wrong. How many other horrific crimes can take place and it'll be wall-to-wall, nothing but, if it fits the narrative? If it doesn't fit the narrative, then you're not going to hear a peep unless you're paying attention to the alternative media. You've got to seek out the blogs. You've got to seek out shows like here on Blog Talk and over on Spreaker and a few other places that you're lucky enough to find something where they're interested. Until we make it clear to the media outlets that we don't want propaganda, we want facts reported, then they're going to continue to do this. So it's up to us to let them know in the way that'll hurt them most, through dollar signs. We withhold their revenue. It'll make a difference. But one of the things that we like to do here is expose media bias. And the lack of reporting and the way this is being reported is definitely a case of media bias. It doesn't fit the profile, doesn't fit their purposes of trying to push immigration reform, and they're walking lockstep with the current administration right now, and it's just absolutely insane. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we get back from that break, we're going to open up the phone lines, and we'll talk about pretty much anything you guys want to talk about from the past week, whether it's defunding of Obamacare, whether it's the Detroit bankruptcy, or if any of you want to call in and still talk about this one, I mean, feel free. The call-in numbers are 347-426-3550. And, of course, if you need to take advantage of the toll-free number, that's also up on the show page, but it is 888-287-5313. And we will be right back. Tap into the truth. Listen in live every Sunday at 3 p.m. Check us out at tapintothetruth.com for our latest blog posts and for links to all of our past broadcasts. Don't forget to like us on Facebook and to follow us on Twitter. That's Tap Into the Truth every Sunday at 3 p.m. Yes, that's right. Every Sunday, 3 p.m. here Eastern Standard Time, we do get started with the show. We're going to try and shift gears now. We'll talk about a few other topics. The phone lines are open. Anybody who wants to comment either about what we have already been talking about or a host of different topics from the past week, feel free to go ahead and call in. I'll give you those numbers again real quick. Those numbers are 347-426-3550. Or if you need to take advantage of the toll-free line, that number is 888-287-5313. As a little bit of in-house business, we are swiftly approaching the time for drawing our second winner for new followers. So your opportunity to be the second winner is quickly coming to an end. We will have that drawing later this week to determine who wins the prize pack for our new followers, which includes Country Fresh Fudge and a smattering of various goodies from both the lines of Jake and Amos and from Miss Miller's Preserves. I know it doesn't sound like your typical prize pack for a talk show, but these are some really great items, and I think you'll enjoy them. And while we're on that topic, last month's prize pack winner, TY Capitalism, still hasn't sent me the information necessary to send out his prize. So if you're checking in today, TY, I noticed that you were on last week, but I didn't get a chance to catch you before you jumped out of the chat room. Still waiting to get your information so we can send you that prize back. If you happen to be a follower of Blogcast on iTunes, Tap Into the Truth is now available, both the Blog Talk version and the Spreaker version. One of the things I have done in the past, just FYI here at the show, is kind of shadowed the Spreaker show based on what goes on here. And I decided this past week that I definitely have to stop that because there's really no reason for anybody to want to listen to both that way. So we're going to utilize this some to promote and cross-promote. And the whole idea here being is I do this over here once a week. I enjoy it greatly, having the two-hour format, but most of the times over at the Spreaker version of Tap Into the Truth, simply a 45-minute podcast where I have a monologue that usually covers one or two topics. Sometimes I hit a couple of headlines beforehand. Regardless, if you like the show here, you might be interested in checking it out. And like I said, if you like iTunes, both shows are available there. This past week, I in fact had a non-political broadcast on Spreaker in regards to high school kids that were not college-bound, not being ready with the skills necessary for the real world, is the way I put it. But basically, they lack the skills to make that good first impression with potential employers, don't know how to fill out a job application, certainly don't know how to write a resume. We covered an article that appeared in Forbes magazine last week in regards to 20 things that 20-year-olds don't get, which was designed specifically to try and help younger workforce folks to improve their career paths. Like I said, that particular broadcast has gotten some national attention with some different national agencies that try to provide those kind of services, both educational and assistance and resume writing and the various things. So a little kudos going on for the show. I'm kind of patting myself on the back. Hope you guys don't mind me taking a minute to mention it. You might even want to check it out over on Spreaker Radio. It is Ready for the Real World. That is the title. If you don't want to go over to Spreaker Radio, you're a dedicated blog talk person, you might want to check out the website, tapintothetruth.com. On the past broadcast page, it's pretty close to the top on the Spreaker half of the page, so it would not be hard for you to find there if you'd rather listen there. Anyway, so much for the housekeeping. Phone lines are open, so if you want to discuss anything that we've got going on, story-wise, if you want to talk about the main topic from the first hour, or if you want to talk about any of these wonderful news stories that have been just going like mad this past week, go ahead and give us a call. Have your say. We'll let you opine as you see fit. And in the meanwhile, I guess I will randomly discuss certain things that have caught my attention that maybe you have, maybe you haven't heard about in regards to, well, let's say in this particular point, there is a report going on from Uncle Sam's Misguided Children. That's a page that's been the center of a lot of controversy in the past, mostly because they have a lot of anti-Islamic type of stories that go on there. They actually had their Facebook page taken down. Again, they claimed a violation of user terms. Seems like they were really attacking Islam and abortion quite a bit at that point, and they're happy to get it. But their main website is, of course, Uncle Sam's Misguided Children. Report there says that pedophiles are about to start seeking the same rights as gays using the same tactics as the homosexual lobby. Now, I got to tell you, that certainly would raise an eyebrow. Keeping in mind the source of the information, it's hard to say exactly what it is as far as how accurate this report may be. But from the very beginning, what's been the conservative argument against protecting all sexual orientations' rights? That's what the folks on the left call it when they try to get same-sex marriages passed and whatnot. The argument all along has been, where do you stop? Where do you draw the line? Most conservatives, I think most Americans, period, typically tend to support the traditional definition of family. Well, the folks on the left who are seeking control, the so-called progressives in particular, who want control of every aspect of your life, certainly don't want you having family to fall back on. They don't want you to be able to have somebody else that you can rely on other than the government. Now, again, I don't know how much of this report is accurate, but like I said, it got my attention. And according to the report, the Northern Colorado Gazette actually originally reported that pedophiles want the same rights as homosexuals, arguing that their desire for sexual relations with children is no different than the desires of heterosexuals or homosexuals. Moreover, according to the story in the Gazette, pedophiles intend to use the same tactics as gay and lesbian activists, which in some cases have included bum, 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 death threats. Those who oppose the gay agenda have long said that homosexuality has been accepted as an alternative lifestyle. Others would seek the same status. Now, gay activists, of course, scoffed at the notion, and I think we've all heard people say, ah, that's just a false argument. We hear that a lot from the left here lately. Every time we present something that's reasonable and thought-provoking, well, that's just a false argument. And Nancy Pelosi said that a lot lately, too. False arguments and made-up scandals. heard that a lot. Now, the American Psychiatric Association declassified homosexuality from its list of mental disorders all the way back in 1973. And a group called B4U is already working to change the language, calling pedophiles minor attracted persons. The group also says that not everyone attracted to minor children is a pedophile. Okay, well, I guess in my definition of pedophilia, it requires you to actually commit the act. But still, if you're attracted to them and you know they're underage, you have to be concerned. According to the Before You Act group, the American Psychiatric Association defines a pedophile to be a person at least 16 years of age who is sexually attracted to prepubescent children and has either engaged in sexual activity with a child or feels distressed by the feelings of attraction. Okay, so you've either done it or you feel bad that you're thinking about it. If you feel bad about thinking about it, I think there's something to it. Anyway, we've got a caller on the line, and the phone lines are open, so, well, we had a caller on the line, and again, just dropped off. It's a little frustrating when people just drop off the phone like that, and I don't know if this is a Blog Talk thing or not, but I know last week I had a ton of technical issues. Some of it was Spreaker, and actually, some of it with Blog Talk, some of it with Skype. And I still haven't got everything worked out with Skype yet. Not that you guys really are all that interested in my individual problems with the show, but it's very frustrating when these things happen. And I had a hard time even just calling in this morning. Anyway, caller, if you're still listening, please call back and we'll get you back on the air. As I continue, in 1989, according to the story in the Gazette, the American Psychiatric Association claimed that the negative potential of adult sex with children was overstated and that the vast majority of both men and women reported no negative sexual effects from childhood sexual abuse experiences. Does anybody else buy that, by the way? Anybody? See, I have a hard time believing that. I have known people who have went through this. I've seen for myself. Unfortunately, I think way too many of us probably know people, if not having happened to ourselves, where this has happened, and it tends to leave lingering long-term effects in how we relate to people for the rest of our lives. These effects are overstated. I'm not buying it. And if anybody in the chat room buys it, please tell me why. Why would we believe that? While we're also on the topic, I guess technically pedophilia also applies to the case of the 13-year-old who was gang raped. Should these not be pedophile charges charged as well? I mean, she is just 13. She is a minor child. I mean, I don't know of any state in the union yet that has set 13 as a legal age of consent. If any of y'all know of any out there in the chat room or listening in, give me a call and let me know. I mean, I haven't heard of that. I mean, there may be some convoluted, you can give consent at 13 as long as your partner is within 2 years of your age and still under 18 or some crazy crap like that. But typically, the age of consent here in Tennessee has been 16 in the past. They keep playing with it. They bounce it around like crazy. I think the 16 was in response to try and help a lot of politicians keep something in their closet from being a problem for them later down the road, quite honestly. All intents and purposes, I personally don't believe that legal age of consent should be any lower than 17, because let's face facts, you're not emotionally mature enough for sex. Most people aren't emotionally mature enough for sex until well after they're 25. It's not going to keep it from happening. And of course, we're not going to pass laws based on that. And You know, it goes back to the legal drinking age. Well, why is it 21? Well, because most folks that are in the state houses and state senates across the country, well, most of them tend to be 25. So they want to make sure that they have the right and the opportunity to drink. So they pass laws that will supposedly protect the populace and then move forward. I noticed nobody's calling in other than my one dropped caller. And would definitely like to hear from some of you folks, so please feel free to give us a call. This is a range of topics that works best when we have interaction. Mary says in the chat room that the legal age in Ohio consents 18. Glad to see the folks in Ohio have some sense. Got a caller on the line now. We'll go ahead and take that call. Area code 706. You are on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, how are you doing today? Hello?
Hello? Hello? Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
All
right.
Yes, I can. Yeah, I wanted to say that. Feedback.
Yeah, we're having a real hard time hearing you here, too.
Let me call you right back.
Okay, go right ahead. All right. And I don't know if this is a technical issue through Blog Talk or if there's still something going on here with my equipment. I hope that's not the case. I hope the caller will call right back, and we'll see what she has to add to today's conversation. Anyone else also, welcome to call in. Those numbers, of course, are 347-426-3550. Or if you need to take advantage of the toll-free number, please do so. That's 888-287-5313. Mary's pointing out, in case the caller is still listening, that she needs to turn off the sound on her computer, and that would probably help a lot of that. And hopefully she is listening and heard that bit of advice. Thanks, Mary, for being ever so helpful. Much appreciation. And in the meanwhile, until we get a caller back on, and she is now back on the line with us, go right ahead, caller.
Hello? Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, that's much better.
All right. And what is it you wanted to say?
Okay. I wanted to say this is a great show, great topic, and I do agree concerning the as an older person, they want to be with someone young, and it's totally wrong. I do think that unless someone is emotionally ready for any kind of sexual behavior or relationship, then anything against that is, you know, it's illegal, it's wrong, and it's an abuse. It's a violation, you know. And I don't go by age because someone can be 18 emotionally, they're still not ready to be sexually engaged in a relationship. But I saw as an adult person being attracted to a child in a sexual way, I don't know. I cannot even process that in not even 1% because it's a child. It is a child, and our job as adults is to protect the child, not abuse them. And it is a lifetime. Lifetime of baggage, it's a lifetime of damage. So whoever's been abused as a child, it goes with them till the day they die. It goes with them. I mean, you can manage your life, but it's a lifetime of damage.
You're absolutely right. Could you go ahead and turn the sound down on your computer? I think that we're still getting a lot of feedback from here as a result of that. And you should be able to hear me fine over the call. You should hear the show fine that way. And I promise you everybody else can hear you. You're hitting it right on the head. And it's mostly common sense to the majority of us. You know, and you said it is the job of adults, not just parents alone, but it's the job of adults, period, to protect children. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's part of why when we see something like Sandy Hook happen, everybody gets emotional about that, and you run that risk of letting emotion overrun your better judgment. But anybody who's sexually attracted to children, that you know, if you can look at a kid and you know that they're 10 or 11 or 12 and you are turned on by that, there is a problem. And for people to now stand back and say, well, we need to fight for their rights. I was trying to go through, I'd come upon a report the other day, and I was trying to find it again, where a Florida legislator had intentionally tried to block an amendment. There was a Florida non-discrimination law against homosexual sexuality. And the way it was written, it would actually protect all orientations, and they were trying to redefine orientation as being much broader than man-woman or man-man. Woman, which typically is what most of us think of as orientation. They left this broad open definition of so that bestiality and pedophilia would fall in as a type of orientation. And the Republicans had tried to put in an amendment to the bill to take those out of being protected privileges, and the Democrats squashed it. They kept that amendment from going on. And one particular state representative made the statement that she believed all sexual orientation should be protected, and then made the point that she thought that that was an orientation. And I can't help but wonder, what's wrong with somebody that does that? I mean, if you've seen for yourself the hurt that's carried with somebody for the entirety of the rest of their life when this is forced upon them, you would never, never want this to happen to anyone else ever again. I mean, if you have a, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go on. I'm just agreeing with you.
I mean, I'm just saying, if you have a heart that beats and you have seen anyone that's impacted by this, then you know this is not acceptable behavior. And your point earlier about sexual maturity being far more important than sexual age. I think what we run into with most states when it comes to age of consent, a lot of places feel comfortable making it 18 because at 18, typically everyone's considered to be legally an adult. And it's hard to tell somebody who's considered to be an adult under the eyes of the law that there are still certain things that they can and cannot do. Although, when it comes to sex, they certainly should be limited as far as the age of their sexual partners are concerned. If you're dealing with somebody who is still underage, that maturity factor may make a difference in some cases, but ultimately, it's just not acceptable to allow pedophilia to occur within our society because it's just another attempt to tear down those traditional family values. I don't have the specifics in front of me, but I know a lot of sexual abuse cases are actually perpetrated by family members. And you know, that's kind of that double whammy. Somebody that you trust, somebody who's supposed to be part of your family unit that's supposed to be helping to protect you, it's hard to overcome something like that. And like I said earlier in the show, I don't know for sure what time you started listening in, but it just it's the type of situation.
Yeah, I was in here for the beginning of the hour, about an hour before I started.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I pointed out that one of two things typically occurs for victims of this type of underage assault. Either one, they spend the rest of their lives finding some way to try to escape this pain that they just can't get away from, which way too often they turn to drugs as a result of, in an attempt to escape that, which leads to a whole different problem that our culture is currently facing. Yeah. Or somehow they find that inner strength and they start working to try and keep it from happening to anybody else. And, you know, that, of course, is the desired result if it's possible. But, you know, that's so hard to find any reason to be positive about your life after stuff like this happens, especially if you're one of these faceless people. So people like Elizabeth Smart is in a position where if she can find that kind of strength, she can have an impact. She has a way to feel positive of the good that she could do from her bad situation.
Yeah.
Because she was made famous through it. But okay, go ahead.
There is healing. There is healing. Because I myself, I am a survivor myself. It was done to a family member of mine, you know, but it's basically I am no longer in prison within myself, and I am no longer lost. I have found myself. But what I came to realize at the end of the healing process is basically whoever does this to any kind of child, it's a life sentence. And I'm talking about a prison. And it's more like, it really is like a physical prison, because not only this person is lost, but they also lost their identity, because when and the thing with the pedophile, I saw that coming like months ago with this whole homosexual thing going on, and I'm like, it's not far away before this pedophile thing goes on, because you know God has already revealed that to me. Okay, so I'm not surprised by this. So, but when an adult again does this to any child, it's a crime. It's a crime, because when you have no understanding of what's going on and what's taking place, the only thing that you can understand is this does not feel right. This is not normal. And wondering what is going on when you really have no understanding, because even if they did it, it's going to depend on how you were raised and how you were brought up. Because you know, I was raised in a very strict background. So the understanding of sexuality comes even harder. Okay? But I myself, I found myself throughout my lifetime, I have run into people that are 15 years old, because I'm in my 30s right now, but 56 years old, that these things had happened to them. And they have never told anyone. And recently, I have even run into a man that is telling me that the neighbor did this to them, they're raping, the neighbor was raping them years after years. So this has happened also to men as well. And but I thank God for me, I am not confused about my sexuality because, you know, I do have a fiance right now and things like that, but it's not easy. It will never be easy because little things will always pop up. Because the person may say something or touch you one way, and you love the person, but you hate what they're doing, and you're wondering, why is this happening? And then it starts coming back, you're like, oh, okay, this is the reason, because this is what happened, you know? But it's for both men and women. So anyone that does this to a child, to me, it's murder. That's what it is. It's murder. Because you kill that child's spirit, you kill their soul, and you kill their future, their dreams. The dream, because some people have dreams, you know, I'm going to kill myself, or I want to be a virgin until I get married. But when you do these things to a girl or boy, then you destroy that dream for them. You know, it's a stolen dream. Yeah. You see? And even men that are 50, 67 years old, and they're dating 18-year-old little girls, well, they're legal, they're 18, I still consider in a way pedophile, because why would you see an 18-year-old? What does 50-year-old have in common with 18? The sex. Mentally, what can you share with that person? So this is all I have to say, you know. And yes, it is my mission to protect any child, and I do protect any child, even if they're not mine, even if they're just strangers, you know.
Yeah, I'm very sorry that you had to go through that, and
grateful. Don't say that.
Well, I'm very grateful that you found a path to healing and that you have found that strength to do exactly what we hope most people who have to go through any kind of hardships do, and that is to try and find a way to keep these bad things from happening to other people. So I want to thank you for doing what you can to try and protect children from it, because, you know, that's too many people in our current society think that they have no responsibility for anyone else. And, you know, it's not like I'm saying, okay, I'm my brother's keeper. But at the same time, if you can stop something bad from happening to somebody else, especially something like this, there's no excuses for not having done it. So I appreciate you very much for calling in and for sharing that story with us. And, again, thank you.
Yeah, no problem. And great show. I'm
going
to do the show, you know?
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And I hope you'll hang on and listen a little bit longer. And then otherwise, I'm going to go ahead and let you go now. But again, thanks for calling.
Okay, God bless.
Bye. God bless you, too. All right, folks. Well, you just heard it from somebody that's experienced it firsthand, you know, and this is, it's just one of those things that we see happen time and time again, and for whatever reason, we want to ignore it, we want to push it aside, we want to pretend like it doesn't exist. But that's also a big part of what's wrong with our media hiding facts about a case like this, too. You know, this, again, is one of those teachable moments where we can reach out and say, hey, this shouldn't be happening in America regardless of who did it. But because they have an agenda right now to try and protect this movement towards amnesty, they can't let it out. And that's a pretty good example right there of what is exactly so shameful that our media would do that. And I hope that something positive can be done as we move forward with this. I mean, it's hard really to change gears after a call like that and getting back into various other topics, because it's such a big deal. And it happens way more than any of us really want to think about. And unless you've experienced it yourself or known somebody closely that has, you can't really know what it's like. It is a terrible struggle. And again, you know, I am very happy that that this young lady has managed to find a place to healing. Because it's tough. It's real tough. At any rate, if anybody wants to call in about any of the other big news of the week, anybody surprised that there was some debacle about the juror's interview on ABC's Good Morning America? I trust most of you have probably heard about it. That ABC doctor and used deceptive editing to try and manipulate and misrepresent what juror B-29 actually said. Again, why would they want to do that? Obviously, they are interested in selling the narrative. Ooh, there are still reasons and justifications for the federal government to send the Justice Department in and possibly have civil rights charges brought against George Zimmerman. Why do they need justification? Because everybody and their grandmother who knows anything about the law knows that this deal is done. But if NBC can deceptively edit the 911 call, why would anyone be surprised that ABC would intentionally edit in a deceptive fashion the interview with the one lone juror who happened to not be Caucasian? If anyone's interested in calling in about that, feel free. Also, other big-time topics in the news. Of course, everybody's talking about Anthony Weiner. I don't know if you guys have heard yet this morning, but the news was that his campaign manager has quit. Of course, a lot of folks have been paying a lot of attention to this viral video of the standoff between a former school teacher and Anthony Weiner while he was making his tour of the Hurricane Sandy devastation areas. Yeah, that's right. Just in case you didn't know it, there are still areas in New York and New Jersey that haven't even began rebuilding yet. Be a little bit of a surprise to some of us, I'm sure, especially if your only source of information is that nasty mainstream media. Why? Because according to the mainstream media, Barack Obama gave a lot of money to Chris Christie, and everything was fine. There was a lot of handshaking and patting on the back and, oh, you did a great job, Mr. President. Oh, you're doing a great job, Mr. Governor. And, oh, you're doing a great job, Mr. President. You're doing a great job, Mr. Mayor of New York City, Mr. Nanny himself, Mr. Bloomberg. I mean, we saw all that. And if you're not living in the area, you probably would think by now everything would be back to normal. But if you've actually lived in a devastated area through a natural disaster, tornadoes, hurricanes, what have you, you know that it takes a long time to get everything back to the way that it needs to be. It doesn't happen overnight. And the government, for all its best of intentions, I'm sure, can't quite get it all done. And they can't do it alone. They can't get it all done. Is anyone surprised? No. But, you know, Anthony, being ever the opportunist, takes a camera crew through some of this area and says, hey, by the way, you people need to come with me. We're going here today because I know you're going to follow me, and you need to see this. How very gracious of you, Mr. Weiner, to decide that, you know, this media is just going to follow you. I'm thinking they're probably waiting for their best chance to break out their next big wiener joke. But, you know, he thought that this would make him seem like a man of the people. And then the school teacher calls him out on having moral authority to run the city. You're going to be in charge. You're going to be the boss of several hundreds of people that are expected to live up to a certain code of conduct in implementing their jobs. She makes the point that she, as a school teacher, would have been fired and would have never had a chance to try and get her job back had she been involved with sexting the way Mr. Wiener had. So I find it very interesting. He kept trying to avoid the question because she asked him point blank, what gives you the moral authority to do this, to be in charge of these people, which are expected to have this higher code of conduct than you yourself have been able to demonstrate? And at first he's like, well, are you voting for me? Like that matters to the question. And she says, no, I'll not be voting for you. And then she's like, well, so you've had a chance to make up your mind. What I want to do is give everyone else a chance to make up their mind. And he repeats that little refrain about three or four times. In the event you haven't seen the video, it's easy enough to find if you do want to see it for yourself. And what is absolutely awesome is that the teacher doesn't back down, and she's not going to let him go until he tries to answer the question. And his half-hearted attempts at answering the question never even really gets close to an answer what's actually being asked. He just wants to go on about how it's up to New York citizens to decide. They need to decide for themselves. But his campaign has been tanking since most of the voters in New York have found out that he continued texting after his resignation, all these pictures and all this sexually explicit crap, and then his obviously very offensive to the Hispanic community pseudonym of Carlos Danger. I got to tell you, it's a creative at least. I kind of like it. If it hadn't been so, you know, if he did something different for the first name, maybe no one would have found that as offensive as the rest of it. But it's Anthony Wiener, for crying out loud. This man is only doing this because he can't stand to be outside of the limelight. He has no interest in public service. In fact, this is an attempt to get some executive experience so that he can pad his resume to run for higher office again. He's probably thinking governor, shoot, maybe even president at some point down the line. Isn't it sad that we live in a country where a man who's completely disrespected his wife and his political party and his constituents has done all this and still can, even if it was just for a little while, lead in a race to be governor of one of the largest cities in the country? I mean, seriously, Carlos Danger can be your mayor. I hope no one's offended by that. It's just, well, that's just ridiculous. But yeah, his campaign manager has quit on him. That was going around this morning. The video is out there if you want to try and track it down. It's not nearly as dramatic as some people like to make it out to be, but, you know, it's nice when you see voters questioning the candidates. And Button OK says that his wife's standing behind Mr. Wiener because of the power he would be getting by becoming mayor. And, yeah, there's no question. We see that a lot in politics. We probably see folks get caught up in scandals a little more often on the Democratic side, and that's not because either side's that much better at avoiding it, and it's certainly not like either side's that much better at keeping it on the down low. I just think it tends to happen a little bit more on the Democratic side because they think the media is not going to report it. They don't think they're going to get caught. And when you consider his wife had been intricate in politics previously, she worked on Hillary Clinton's staff for a while. You know, she understands how politics works, and she understands her own political career can only be helped by him becoming mayor. There does come a point, though, where you have to say enough is enough, and this is it. If there's emotion involved in this marriage, if there's real feeling, at some point she's going to have to stand up for herself. And, you know, just the women livers alone that are part of the Democratic extremist wing have got to be pulling their hair out that she's willing to do this. So maybe she should force him to drop out and she should run for mayor. She could probably get the sympathy vote right now. And let's face facts, Anthony would probably still get to be in the mayor's mansion for a little while, and that's probably good enough for him for the time being. It's just crazy. Like I said at the top of the show when we talked about possible second hour topics, there's only two places this guy had a chance of getting back into politics anywhere. If he was in San Francisco, he probably would still be leading in the polls. In fact, he'd probably have a whole new level of followers amongst the homosexual community out there, and that would probably be enough to push him over the top. I'm sure they would love Carlos Danger. He could probably actually have a full Twitter ad campaign sending out a lot of those tweets, and it would probably work for him there. But in the rest of America, we typically tend to frown on people that are supposed to be leaders behaving as if they're still in junior high and don't have enough sense not to take pornographic selfies and send them to people that they don't actually really know. I mean, heaven help us. What have we descended into? Last few minutes, I would like to talk about defunding Obamacare. And if anybody wants to call in, we're down to about 11 minutes or so left in the show. So, again, those call-in numbers is 347-426-3550. Or if you have to be concerned about paying for those calls, we do have the toll-free number, and that is 888-287-5313. Give us a call. Make your comments. Would love to hear from you. Budden says that Obamacare scares. Well, guess what? Obamacare scares the crap out of me, too. And anybody who actually knows what this thing really represents should be terrified. Now, unfortunately, we've had a huge misrepresentation of what this bill is, and they knew that the low information, or in a lot of cases, their supporters are no information voters, would fall for the tactics. They are in the midst of a multi-million dollar media campaign to try and promote Obamacare. Now, why would you have to spend millions and millions of, need I remind you, taxpayer dollars to promote something if it was really so great? Would it be necessary? I don't think so. Rite Aid announced earlier this week, towards the end of the week, that they would be allowing, what was the term? What were they calling them? Obamacare navigators. That's what they were calling them, navigators, to come in to the stores and help people. They were going to be promoting Obamacare and try to help people get signed up for it. Now, it is absolutely terrifying when you see national chains being bullied into this. I don't know if they were bullied, but we do know for a fact that they bully just about everybody that they can. If they can't convince you to go along, if you're not firmly in the camp, they want to bully you. Real was in the chat room for just a moment, stated that not being able to afford health care scared them, and now they've logged out. So sorry they didn't get a chance to hear the mention. Appreciate you being in the chat room, though. And, yeah, it's one of the most cruel jokes ever that they would even call this law the Affordable Health Care Act. Because it was designed to make it so unaffordable that you had no choice but to sign on to the single-payer government option that they'll have to create out of necessity later. That's what it was all about, in case anyone didn't already know that. I think most of the people listening to the show probably did know that. So, you know, I'm not telling you anything new, but here's what's wild. Part of this, they had a night at the ballpark bit going on with the Washington Nationals trying to help promote. And I've got a soundbite from that. It's actually Catherine Sebelius. Yay, everyone's favorite healthcare professional. Doing a little PA announcement. They had a little video with Teddy, of course, is their one of their presidential mascots with the Nationals. I'm going to go ahead and play this. It's a little quick, about a 30-second soundbite. This is them trying to convince you through baseball games, their night at the ballpark, to go to the website and learn how to sign up for Obamacare. Here it is.
Hello, everybody. Teddy's ready to learn about new options for millions of Americans who don't have health insurance or are looking for a better deal. He's visiting healthcare.gov, where people can get ready to find a plan that fits their budget. Our toll-free call center is open 24/7 to answer questions in 150 languages. Open enrollment in every state starts on October 1st. If Teddy can do it, so can you.
Now, I apologize about the sound quality of that particular soundbite. That was a little worse than I thought it was when I uploaded it. But you can hear the crack of the bat. And if you see the video, and this video is easy enough to find too, he has the Teddy mascot running around the bases and trying to call into the phone lines and checking out the website. And you know, that one bit ad there, which was done primarily to promote the health services night at the ballpark, it was expensive. But they're also getting big-time celebrities to try and go out and help promote this. And it is absolutely insane that you have to go on a campaign like this. I mean, let's face facts. If you're one of these people that's still buying into the Obamacare thing, ask yourself this, please. If it's such a great thing, why would anybody vote to postpone implementation of any part of it until after the next election cycle? And then wait for a second and see what they have to say. Glad to see you back in the chat room, Real. Mentioned your comment a minute ago about not being able to afford health care. And, yeah, everyone should be concerned about that. If you're still on board with Obamacare, if you still think you're going to get taken care of by this plan, honestly, that's the first question I have to ask you. Why would the unions that help support it one exempted from it? Why would a report I saw yesterday, the IRS now be looking to be exempted from it? Why would anyone want to be exempted from something that's really great? Why would anybody want to be exempted from any part of something that's going to help take care of you? Well, you know, we know the labor unions already have, most of them anyway, sweetheart deals for health care insurers. They're going to lose it. Obamacare kills those sweetheart deals, and it runs up to the point that they won't be able to afford the policies they've been getting paid for. They still don't seem to get it either. Guess what, you labor unions? This isn't about taking care of people. This is about forcing you onto a single-payer system. That's it. But what it really keeps coming down to is, again, ask yourself, if you're still on board, why would they want to delay implementation of any part of it until after the next election cycle if it's so great? That's why it's really important right now for the GOP and the House of Representatives to vote to defund it. It's the only way to stop it at this point. You know, they can vote a million times to repeal or replace, whatever they want to do. They can do that a million times just for show, because they know, and it is just for show if they do it right now, because they know in the Senate it's not going to get passed through. It's not going to happen. The Senate's controlled by the Democrats that forced this through and wanted this on the table. So the Republicans over in the House have to vote to defund it. And how does that work? How does that stop it? Because all spending must originate in the House of Representatives. And don't buy into all this bulk. I did start seeing this crap coming from certain Democrats talking about how they'll have government shutdowns before they'll stand for any type of funding that doesn't include Obamacare. So understand that. That's the Democrats balking, saying that they'd rather have shutdowns. Don't buy the lie when you hear them say there'll be pandemonium on the streets. We'll have no cops, no teachers, no firemen, no trash pickup, none of that. They don't want you to know the truth. They want you to be scared. The truth of the matter is they can fully fund everything and just leave Obamacare out. And you're right, Real. No one is forced into Obamacare. But actually, let's keep in mind, Obamacare isn't a policy. It isn't a protection. Obamacare is nothing more than a law that says you have to have health insurance. It says all health insurance providers have to provide for you certain levels. There's just a few different plans, and they have to include all kinds of stuff, and pre-existing conditions don't matter. That's not insurance. That's just welfare. And in order for most health insurance companies to be able to afford that, they have to raise the rate so high that most Americans can't afford it. And that's how you get forced into one of the exchanges. Only a lot of these states are still having trouble setting up their exchanges. So what do you do then? Well, you're stuck with trying to find something that maybe you can't afford, or you're stuck having to pay fines that the IRS are going to hit you with at the end of every year. You know, it's not welfare if you're paying out of pocket, but it is welfare if you get, quote, a policy that is for a pre-existing condition. It's not really insurance. I mean, the very definition of insurance is you're seeking protection from something that might happen. If you already know it's happened, then what you're doing is you're paying a small amount of money to try to keep from paying from a larger amount of money. So in a way, it is a form of assistance. It's just being forced into the private sector, and eventually they want to push that into the public sector because government wants control of it. There's no two ways about it. There was no concern about helping people better afford health care. If that was really the concern, then you focus on the problem of the expense of health care. You start with how much it costs to become a health care professional. You find ways to help reduce how much it costs to become a doctor, to become a nurse, to become a technician, what have you. You find ways of helping pharmaceuticals, companies to bring their products cheaper. You find a million and one ways of doing it without just throwing money at the problem. By the way, it's difficult to come up with a single solution to why healthcare costs so much in the United States. But if you're going to pass a law that only focuses on health insurance and you don't put any type of limits on how much an insurance company can cost you, then you're not interested in how much it costs. You're trying to control people. Okay, we're in the last 19 seconds, but Budden said if H&R Block told him if he didn't have health care, his fine would be about $488 and double that the next year. Okay, everybody, this is the end of the show. Hope everybody enjoyed. Don't take my word for it. Definitely don't take their word for it. Use your own research and use your brain. Have a great weekend, everybody.